What's going to happen to you when you die? Will you go to heaven? What about your deceased loved ones? Are they currently in heaven? Do they know what's going on here on earth right now? Are they perhaps looking down and observing you? Do you really know what happens after death? Are you sure? You know, my friends, there are many ideas promulgated by many different religions. Where did you get your ideas? Do you think that the Bible promises heaven as the reward of the saved? You may be shocked to learn what your Bible actually says. Would you like to know the real truth about life after death? Well, stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world.
This week, John O'Gwen asks, will you go to heaven? And now, John O'Gwen.
Well, greetings, friends. What happens when you die? You know that more than 8 out of 10 Americans believe in an afterlife of some kind. Only about 10% expect no form of life after death. About another 10% is not quite sure what happens. According to research by the Barna Group, over 3/4 believe that heaven exists. Almost the same numbers believe in hell. However, as various research polls through several decades have shown, definitions of what heaven and hell are really like vary widely. It's interesting that while Americans overwhelmingly believe in hell, hardly anyone expects to go there. 2/3 of Americans expect to go to heaven when they die, but according to pollsters, only 0.5% expect to go to hell. About 1 out of 4 admit that they really don't know what's going to happen to them when they die. What about you, my friends? Do you know what will happen to you when you die? Will you continue to be consciously aware of what's going on around you? Where did you get your ideas, and how can you be sure if they're so? Where can you really find answers to questions like these? You know, down through the centuries, people have wondered the same kind of questions. Down through the centuries, different religions have offered different answers to people. You know, some of this is reflected in the burial customs of ancient peoples. The ancient Egyptians embalmed their dead and built elaborate tombs to preserve their bodies for an afterlife. The greatest building projects of the ancient world were the pyramids, designed and built by the pharaohs of Egypt to preserve them for the afterlife. Now, the Hindus and the Buddhists had a very different idea. They have traditionally cremated their dead. They've done this in order to release the soul for reincarnation. Now, the ancient Israelites had a different approach from either the Egyptians or from the people of India. They believed, based on the scriptures in Genesis, that man was made from the dust and would return to the dust. And so their practice was to a simple burial in the ground based on the idea that we would return to the elements from which the first man was made, that death ended life. The question was asked in the Bible about if a man dies, will he live again? Now, that's a question a lot of people have wondered, and I'm sure many of you have wondered that same question. Well, the Bible talks about a resurrection from the dead. Notice in the book of Job, chapter 14, Job asks the question, poses the question in Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? Have you wondered that question? Job was inspired to record the answer to his own question. He goes on to record, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. You will call, and I will answer you. You will have a desire to the work of your hands. So Job anticipated a time when he would be called forth from the grave. He knew that death was a cessation of life, but that God had a plan that reaches beyond the grave. Now, in the book of Daniel, in chapter 12, this same point is brought out. Notice here in Daniel chapter 12, talking about the very end time, the time ahead of us, the events even of the great tribulation that are described in Daniel 12 and verse 1, talking about these events that will culminate in the coming of the Messiah. And notice here, Daniel 12, end of verse 1, at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that is found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awaken, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel wrote about those who were asleep. They were asleep in the dust of the earth, and he said the time is going to come when they're going to wake up. Now, Job anticipated the resurrection. Daniel talked about the resurrection. What did Jesus Christ himself personally say on this subject? Well, there are various places where Jesus talked about it, but notice one example in John chapter 5 and verse 28. Jesus said, "Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth." Jesus Christ said the time was coming when all who are in the grave would hear that voice and they would come forth. Now, the Bible teaches the resurrection of the dead. How does the teaching of the resurrection of the dead square with the concept of going to heaven when you die? You know, my friends, I recently attended a funeral in which the preacher assured all of us who were there that the deceased person was currently enjoying heaven. She had suffered from a serious disease for months prior to her death. The preacher asserted that she currently had a new body that no longer felt pain. Now, it was interesting because he quoted a verse of Scripture back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he used this verse as proof that she now had a new body and she was no longer enduring any pain. And the verse that he quoted was 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 53, that this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So that was what he said. Now, I wish I'd had opportunity to visit with him after the service because I had some questions that I was wanting to pose to him, and one of the things I would have liked to have asked him was if he had read a little earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, if he had read some of the earlier verses in the chapter, because those verses actually help to make plain what this is talking about. Now let's notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 through 23. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Notice as we come on down a few verses on down to verse 42, we read about the resurrection of the dead. We're told that the body is sown in corruption. It's planted in the ground. It is buried. It decays. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. But when does that spiritual body come about? Well, verse 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. My friends, do you see where the timing is on this? When are we going to put on this incorruptible body? Does it say that you're going to go off to heaven and you're going to get an incorruptible body as soon as you die? No, it doesn't say that at all. The Bible uses the analogy of sleep for death. Death is compared to sleep. Here we're reading of people who are awakened out of sleep. People who are resurrected. That occurs at the last trump. The resurrection of the dead occurs at the return of Jesus Christ to this earth in power and glory. My friends, do you know what happens when you die? What lies ahead for you? Is heaven really the reward of the saved? What do you think is going to happen to you? What are you going to do when you inherit that future? You go to heaven, are you going to float around on a cloud? Are you going to play a harp? Perhaps you expect to go to that great golf course in the sky. Well, in the next part of our program, we're going to look at a number of specific verses that many people think are talking about going to heaven. But first, I want to offer you a free booklet that will help to make this vital subject really clear to you. This booklet, entitled Your Ultimate Destiny, will help you to really understand this subject. You know, my friends, forever is a long, long time. Do you really know how you're going to spend eternity? Well, this important booklet will help make it plain. Please call or write for your own free copy of Your Ultimate Destiny right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. My friends, who is up in heaven right now? What about the great men and women of faith that are mentioned in the Bible? Are they up in heaven? I want you to notice in Acts chapter 2, and in the course of his sermon, he said in verse 29 of Acts 2, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you about the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." He went on and talked about certain verses of the Psalms that David had written and how they actually applied to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Peter emphasized his point by saying in verse 34, "For David is not ascended up into the heavens. As he himself said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit you on my right hand until I make your foes your footstool." He's quoting from Psalm 110, which David wrote. But he makes the point, again, this is 10 days after Jesus had ascended to heaven, 50 days after the resurrection, David was not in heaven. In fact, the Apostle John, writing about 90 A.D., the last of the four Gospels to be written, records an exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus. It's contained back in John chapter 3. And Jesus makes the statement to Nicodemus in John 3 and verse 13, "And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven." You see, nobody has ascended up there, Jesus said. Well, some think, well, maybe people ascended after Jesus' resurrection. John adds in a parenthetical thought. He says, "even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." You see, at the time John wrote, about 60 years or so after Jesus had spoken these words, Jesus himself was up in heaven. "No man has ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who's in heaven," Jesus himself. Now I want us to examine some scriptures that some have used to support the idea of going to heaven when you die. What they actually say may be quite different from what you have previously thought. Just look at these verses with an open mind and let's understand what the Bible itself actually says. Now let's start back in the Gospel of Luke and let's look at one of the well-known parables that is given in the Bible, the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Luke chapter 16. Jesus speaking here in verse 19, he says, "There was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, laid at his gate full of sores. Lazarus desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, but the rich man never offered him any crumbs. We're told that the dogs came and licked his sores." You know, the dogs had more compassion on Lazarus than the rich man did. They at least paid him some attention and came and licked him and gave him a little attention. The only kindness he received was from an animal. Well, we're told that it came to pass, verse 22, that the beggar died. That's appointed unto all men once to die. But then we're told he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now, my friends, is this talking about going immediately to heaven or hell when you die? Let's examine very carefully what we're told. We're told Lazarus died. We're told Lazarus, and we're not told exactly when, but we're told Lazarus was carried by the angels. Does the Bible define for us a time when the angels will gather the righteous? Will gather the righteous dead? Well, it certainly does. Back in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus Christ spoke very specifically of a time when the angels will gather the elect. Lazarus is here accounted among them. In Matthew 24, in verse 29, it talks about the events right after the tribulation, and now it talks about the return of Christ and how people, verse 30, will see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds. You see, when everybody is raised from the dead, well, if you're living in North America, you go up this way, and maybe those of you down in Australia or New Zealand, up for you is the opposite direction. And in Europe or Asia, wherever it is, all around this round globe, and the angels gather the elect to meet Jesus Christ. Now, what is meant by Abraham's bosom? Well, Galatians 3:29 tells us, if you're Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. The seed of Abraham, the children of Abraham, were gathered into an intimate relationship with Abraham. See, Lazarus is going to inherit. Now, the rich man, we're told, died. He was buried. He lifted up his eyes in, the King James says, hell. But you see, the Greek word is Hades, and it means the grave. There are actually three words translated hell in the King James Bible, and they have three different meanings. He lifted up his eyes in the grave. He was dead. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. But this is a different resurrection, a resurrection to punishment. And we read of a time when the earth will melt with a fervent heat, and the wicked will be ashes under the feet of the righteous. That's described back in the book of Malachi. So, if you examine closely, you find, yes, there's going to be a resurrection from the dead, both to life as well as to judgment and ultimately punishment. But other scriptures make plain this does not occur immediately after death. It is when they're raised. Now, there are other scriptures. We could look at the thief on the cross, and we'll look at that in just a few moments in the next portion of our program. But before we get to that, I want to offer you a free booklet. Now, what about it? If you aren't destined to go to heaven, where are you going to go? How will you really spend eternity? Will you be awake and aware throughout eternity? If so, what are you going to be doing? You know, this present life is, when you really understand it, preparation for a great and glorious future. When you really understand that future, it puts all of the trials of life into perspective. You need to understand this glorious future, a future that God desires for you and me. And that future is made plain in a way you've probably never understood in our free booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny. You really need this booklet, my friends. Please call or write for your own personal copy, absolutely free of charge. Please call or write right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. Let's look at one more scripture that has often been quoted to prove that you immediately go to heaven when you die. It's found in Luke chapter 23, and it describes Jesus on the cross and the two thieves or criminals who were being crucified with him. And we're told that one of them railed against him, and the other answered and said, "Don't you fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, we're receiving the due reward of our deeds. This man has done nothing amiss." And then he said unto Jesus, Luke 23:42, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Truly, I say unto you today, you're going to be with me in paradise." Now, the way most translations render it is, "I say unto you, comma, today, you'll be with me in paradise." My friends, there's no punctuation or quotation marks in the original Greek manuscripts. You see, Jesus was telling the man, "I'm telling you today, as we're hanging here dying, you will be with me in paradise." Now, a couple of easy ways to prove that are just to take a couple of plain scriptures. Did Jesus go to paradise that day, the day that he was crucified? The answer is absolutely not. Jesus himself said, recorded in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, that he would be in the heart of the earth. He said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, that just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus wasn't in paradise, he was in the grave. Notice John chapter 20, verse 17. Now this is describing right after the resurrection. Jesus appeared to the disciples and to various of his disciples on this first day of the week. He had been resurrected 3 days and three nights after he was buried. Notice here this description as he appeared to Mary Magdalene. He told her, John 20, verse 17, "Touch me not," Jesus said, "for I am not yet ascended to my Father." Jesus Christ had not yet ascended to his Father, even over 3 days and three nights after he had spoken those words to the thief. Clearly, the thief didn't go to paradise with Jesus that very day. Jesus himself didn't go to paradise that day. When is it that the thief will inherit, or the repentant thief? When will he inherit? When will anyone inherit? When will the righteous inherit the kingdom of God? Well, it's made very plain. Jesus said it back in Matthew chapter 25. He said, "When the Son of Man," this is in Matthew 25:31, "when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Notice verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom." prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's when we're going to inherit, when Jesus Christ returns. You know, in earlier parts of this program, we've looked at a variety of scriptures at what the Bible says about death, about the resurrection. We've looked at some of the verses that are sometimes misunderstood to indicate that heaven is the ultimate reward of the saved. Now, I want to briefly look at the future that the Bible holds out to those who are truly the people of God, those who are redeemed of God. One of the most basic and simple places for the teaching of Christianity, the teaching of Jesus Christ, is certainly the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 records the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Notice Matthew 5:5. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That's what we're told is the reward. The meek shall inherit the earth. Now, I know that up in verse 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But notice what he didn't say. He didn't say the poor in spirit are going to go to heaven. He didn't say the poor in spirit are going to inherit the kingdom that's in heaven. He said they're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. You see, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom on this earth, a kingdom that will never be removed. When Jesus Christ returns in power and glory, he's going to say to the righteous dead, who've been raised from the dead, awakened from their sleep, "Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." God has a great plan and purpose. You can understand that plan. You need to understand that plan and your part in it. And our free booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny, will really help you in that understanding. Request your free copy right now. And also, my friends, remember to tune in to this same station again next week as Roderick Meredith, Richard Ames, and I continue to bring you the plain teachings of your Bible and the good news of tomorrow's world. See you right here next time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.